This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good evening, everyone. Shalom Aleichem, Bruchim Abam. We continue in the Shurman Sefer Bereishis. The Shurman Bereishis is sponsored by Dr. Zakheim Umashpachta, Leilo Nishmas of Shom Eliezer ben Rav Yaakov Zakheim, and Leilo Nishmas Rivka Bas Tuvia Halevi. Tonight's shir is sponsored by my dear friend Eli Sizma in honor of his brother's upcoming Chasana, Shabi B'Shatavu Maslachas. Okay, so a few very important announcements. You ready? A lot of announcements tonight. First of all, tonight we're finishing in Mishnah Yoimis. We're finishing Seder Zraim, finishing Bikurim, and we're beginning Masechta Shabbos. So if anybody wants to be part of our group, we learn two Mishnayos a day, and you'll finish Moed in 1 year. So you could sign up to our WhatsApp group, go to rabbidg.com, join the Mishnah Yoimis. It's sponsored, Leilo Nishmas, Mr. Jean and Elise Mesh. Veganedem Teimenu Chasam. Next, we have a new program. It's called Torah Illuminated. If you want to get every week a video illuminated with the Mara Mekoymos and graphics, you could sign up for that. You could get that every week. Go to our site. You sign up to the group, and you get this year. Some new upcoming Svarim. First of all, if anybody wants to be Mishtatef, we're working on the Haggadah Shel Pesach in English for Art Scroll. And the next Sefer in Lashon HaKodesh, hopefully Bez Hashem, Sefer on Shemois is being published. Oh, it's a good thing you'll know the information. It's being published in Eretz Yisrael this week, and Bez Hashem, it should be here soon. B'Shat Tov Matzlachas. The next Sefer is really out of the box. It's not on the Torah, not on the Moyadim. You ready for this? This is out of left field. The next Sefer is on Chinuch HaBanim in Lashon HaKodesh. So if anybody wants to be Mishtatef in that, please let us know. Now we're Bezos Hashem, the next trip after Eretz Yisrael is Morocco. And if you go to Morocco, it's important that you know the mystical symbolism of camels. So that's the topic for today's shir, camels. But actually, in some Svarim, Parshas Chayesara is called Parshas Hagamalim, the Parsha of Camels, which is interesting because nowhere else in the whole Chumash is the main character. I mean, who's the main character in this week's Parsha? Eliezer. Most people would say Eliezer. Some people would say Besuel. Some people would say
Yitzchak.
Some people would say Yitzchak. Nope,
Ephraim?
It's the camel. The camels, I mean, every pasuk, the camels, he took 10 camels, he muzzled the camels, he opened up the muzzle, he gave them to drink. I mean, the camels occupy, it literally says camels many, many times. And it's interesting, you know, when Avraham Avinu went to war against the four kings, how did he get there? It doesn't say he went in a tank, it doesn't say he went on a bus, it doesn't say he went on a donkey. We don't know how he got it. It's irrelevant, his mode of transportation. And here, the emphasis is Eliezer took 10 camels, and before the Torah says, before he even davened, he made the camels kneel down to rest, and then he davened. I mean, every pasuk, we have to like the logistics of the camels. The camels take up the main space of the parsha. And I'm saying, Eliezer, before he even davened to Hashem, it says, Bayavri chal esagmalim, and then he davened. I mean, why are the camels so important in this week's parsha? Gemalim. That is the observation of the Shem Yishmol. The Shem Yishmol says, "Vayikach ha'eved asara gemalim, v'chein kama pa'amim nizgar b'parsha gemalim." Many times gemalim is mentioned in the pasuk. U'bevaday ein ze b'mikra. It is certainly not coincidental. If it was coincidental, then the Torah would not have mentioned it. By the way, does the Torah even say the word gemalim b'chlal until Parshas Chayesar? Does gemal appear? Okay, so somebody showed me, Reb Nachman Walder showed me, in Lech Lecha, it says gemalim. But it's like an afterthought. It says Avraham Avinu had tzoin, u'bakar, v'avadim, u'shvachais, v'asoinois, u'gemalim. So they're an after, the last thing. They go after the female donkey. Not only, you know, okay? Just by the way, you think about the order, you know, cows, sheep, male servants, cows, sheep, male donkeys, male servants, female servants, female donkeys, and batting seventh. I mean, that's like the worst spot in the lineup. Are the camels? What? Yeah, I mean, we say achron, achron, chaviv. Well, okay, so Rechaim HaKadosh says something interesting. Why 10 camels? Why did Eliezer need 10 camels? The point being, he was emphasizing how wealthy Avraham Avinu was. He was so wealthy that I could take 10 camels from his fleet, and it didn't make a dent in his fleet. 10 camels from Avraham is like one camel. That's the emphasis on the 10 camels. But the Chizkuni has a different take on it. We learned in the Ion Sugya recently, what do you do if you live in a city and there's no minyan? Are you allowed to get married? You have to know, kala b'loi bracha asura kenida. A kala without shavar brachos is asur. To make shavar brachos, you need a minyan. But what if you live in Wyoming? So you're not allowed to get married? You need a minyan to get married? So some say, maybe you need a minyan. Others say, well, you could still make asher bara without a minyan. So the Chizkuni says, we needed 10 camels because we have to transport 10 guys to make a minyan for the Birchas Erusin and the Birchas Nesuin. Fine. By the way, I'm going to throw out a question irrelevant to anything now, just on the parasha. This question is such a good question. You never thought about this question before. This is like the biggest, this is the biggest question on Bereishis. Okay, great question. I have an answer. I'm whipping it out on Friday, but I just want to make you think about this question. So you're in negotiations for a shidduch, okay? So you send your trustworthy Eved, and he's sitting on one side of the table, and he's representing the boy. On the other side of the table is the father of the girl, Besuel Lavan. Now, Lavan give something to eat to Eliezer. Chazal say it was full of poison. Yeah? The Malach comes and moves the poison from Eliezer to Besuel. Besuel drinks the poison. A few psukim later it says, Lavan and Rivka's mother respond to Eliezer, and Rashi says, and where's Besuel?
He died.
Now just imagine the scene. They're negotiating the shidduch, right? They're negotiating the shidduch. You have Eliezer over here. You have Lavan and Besuel. He said, hey, where did Besuel? And what happens? They go to the girl. The girl, they ask, you want to get married? She says, yeah. And the next morning, she's off. And but what just happened here? In the middle of the conversation, what has happened? The father keels over. So what, they called the housekeeper. They swept him and they put him in the closet. I mean, stop! Why does the Torah say? You know, they cried in the middle of the shidduch. They cried. They brought in a maspid, they sat avelos, they wrote they wept. The story just continues, like, oh, where's the father? Oh, he just happened to kill over in the middle of the negotiations, he died. But like, kilo, nothing happened. What in the world is going on over here? Like, the story continues, like nobody bats an eyelash. Azriel, you lay in the parasha, no? You never really, you just like, you read the parasha, all of a sudden the guy drops dead and everything continues.
Why do they want to kill him?
But he
died. The father died, and the story continues like a butterfly flow through the window, one end going out the one side out.
Yeah, why do you want to kill him?
Because they don't want to give away the Rivka. Whatever the reason was. How could it be the father died and negotiations continue like nothing happened? No funeral, no levaya, nothing. Okay. Furthermore, another significance of the 10 camels, the Chida brings down from the Chaymes Anach. He says that Eliezer took kol tuv adoino biyadai. He says that the 10 camels correspond to the 10 nesyonos of Avraham Avinu. That Eliezer came bolstered with the 10 tests of Avraham to like support his zechus, to ensure the success of his mission. Chida is bothered though, that he said, it's very difficult to say that Avraham Avinu would have told Eliezer, look Eliezer, I want you to tell them, I want to give you my 10 tests because I want you to be supported by my great zechus. It's not Avraham Avinu's style to be drawing attention to his merit and that he should be flashing his merit. It's very unusual. The Chida says probably Eliezer did it on his own. Eliezer realized that he needed to be successful. So Eliezer on his own brought the 10 camels representing the 10 tests. Not that Avram Avinu was calling attention to it, but Eliezer was trying to invoke it. And he even says it could be the meaning of the 10 tests was Avram Avinu had a tradition, he would only have 10 tests. A hard time marrying off his kids was not one of the 10 tests. The point being, Ribbono Shel, you tested me 10 times, but marrying off my kids was not going to be one of the tests. So this got to go easy in my life. That was the message of the 10 tests. So let's talk about the camels. You know a camel, it has, you know, like this, like pointed mouth, then one hump, two hump. We have two subjects in Parshas Chayisara. We have the story of Avraham and Ephraim, and we have the story of the Shidduch of Rivka and Eliezer. Why are these two stories juxtaposed? Why is burying someone who's dead juxtaposed to marriage? Don't answer. Right? Why is burying the dead juxtaposed to Shidduchim? So the Kli Yakar says like this. You want to know what somebody's all about? How do you know what somebody's all about? How do you know what somebody's personality is all about? Everybody's nice. You go to Simcha, oh, Mazel Tov, so nice to be here. You should have only Bracha and Simcha. You think you know what the guy is, what the guy's about? There's only one way to know what somebody's about. Money, money, and money. When it comes to money. He's the nicest guy in the world until he's going to lose 15 cents. If what happens to him when he loses $1.13? If he becomes a behema gasa, chayara, so you know what he's all about. If he's able to slide with that, so you know he's a good guy. Adam nikar bekisai. A person is recognized through his pocket. Therefore, we're going to contrast two individuals. One guy's name is Ephraim. Ephraim comes in with this very generous offer, magnanimous offer. He says, between friends like me and you, I'll give you prime real estate, I don't charge you. Avraham Avinu says, no, I want to pay. Ephraim says, really? You want to pay? So I want to rip you off. That's the story of Avraham and Ephraim. I want big, fat coins that work. I want bitcoins, I want a currency, not bitcoins, right? I don't want bitcoins. So Ephraim represents Ayin Ra, Ra Ayin. On the other hand, Eliezer says, you know how I'm going to know what this girl is all about? If I say to her, I would like a drink, and she says, oh, he would like a drink? Where am I going to get him the cheapest, dirtiest water possible? But the girl says, not only am I going to give you to drink, I'm going to give you extra, so it's going to come out of her pocket. If she's a sport with her money, that shows she has ayin toiva. Kli Yakar says, you know, Chazal say in Gemara Tainis, a very interesting Gemara, a woman that has beautiful eyes, she's good to go. She's beautiful through and through. So Kli Yakar says, what are you talking about? There are many women who are ugly like the witch, and they have nice eyes. There are women that are mamish like mud, and they have nice eyes. And then you have women who have ugly eyes, but they're beautiful. So what Chazal are saying, the only barometer of the beauty of a woman is her eyes. And why are Chazal even giving us such superficial barometer as to the quality of the woman? Says the Kli Yakar, when Chazal say a woman who has beautiful eyes, she's good through and through, it means she has a generous spirit. If she has a good eye, if she's generous, then she has midos tovos. So Eliezer's barometer was, if I ask her for a drink and she says, you know what, I'll give the camels also, she must have midos tovos. Now, very interesting. But why did Eliezer say she'll give the camels to drink? Why not Eliezer say, I want a drink? If she gives me and my men, that's a sign that she's generous. So Kli Yakar says Eliezer was using a psychological tool. Somebody who loves something will love anything that is not connected to that thing that the word is similar in sound to that thing. There's a famous story with Reb Chaim Shmulevitz. The Reb Chaim would say that in the Shir, if the Rebbe would say, "Oh, Reb Chaim had a gewaldige chiddush," referring to Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, he used to feel good. Even though the Rebbe wasn't talking about him, he was talking about someone who he never met. But if he said, "Reb Chaim, my name is Chaim," so in my imagination, I could think, I could trick myself, he's talking about me, even though I know he's not talking about me. But that's the way the human mind works. Somebody who loves Gemilos Chasodim loves camels. Because Gamal sounds like Gemilos Chasodim. If you love Gemilos Chasodim, you love camels. So when Rivka said, "I'll give you to drink, I'll also give," and that means like in her mind's eye, she sees flashing green all the time, Gemilos Chasodim. And when she sees camels, it reminds her of Chesed. And when Rivka said, "I will feed the camels," it was a demonstration of her love for Gemilos Chasodim. Gamal is the bestowal of it. It's similar in sound to Gemilas Chasadim.
What was Gamal? What was Gemilas?
What is it about a camel?
So the
Kli Yakar says nothing that we know about the camel, but he does write in Parsha Shmini it could be. He says Ulai Tivoy Ligmal Chasadzelze. It could be camels are nice to each other. And I have no evidence to contrary to that. That I think camels in the desert, they happen to be very cordial and courteous to each other. They're very nice to each other. He said, that's what the Kli Yakar says. Ulai teva hagamal ligmal chesed zelaze. He says we have no evidence. But he says similar to what the Gemara says in Chulin about the chasida. It does chasidus to its... Yeah. Okay. Now, by the way, Chazal say about the Chasida that it bathes in the river, goes to the mikvah, it's Chasid. Seriously.
From Heller?
Yeah. Yeah. No, he quotes a Gemara that after they procreate, they go to the mikvah. So they're chassid, they're righteous. Okay, so let's talk a little bit more about the camel. Because actually, the camel appears very early on in the Chumash. In Parshas Bereishis. Say, what? I know the whole Parshas Bereishis. It doesn't say Gamal once. There is a mysterious Gamal in Parshas Bereishis. Where is he? Where's the camel? Who is he? Joe Cool? Who's the camel?
A lot of
animals in the Teva. But you know, where's the camel in Parshas Bereishis? Chazal say the camel represents Bavel. In Parshas Shmini, the camel represents Bavel. Now, what do we know about the camel? Does the camel chew its cud?
Yes.
Yeah. Is that a simon of Tumah or Tara?
Tara.
But it doesn't have split hooves, so therefore it's not kosher. Chazal are mashma, that the fact that it chews its cud makes it more tame. The fact that it has a simen of tara makes it more tame. Why? Hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. You want to sin, but don't do it in religious garb. We always talk about this. You're going to be a sinner, and nobody likes it, but... You're going to be a sinner? But don't be like a hypocritical mix-up. The tumah of the gamal, part of the tumah is that it chews its cud. Why does that make it worse? So the Kli Yakar says it could be that the gamal symbolized Bavel, because Bavel on the outside, they were very nice to the Jewish tzaddikim. They drew Mordechai close. They elevated Daniel. But all of that was to advance their own purposes. So there's an idea that the good quality of the gamal actually makes it even more vicious than an animal that has no kosher simanim. And that's what we're going to explore a little bit more. If you take a look at the Shem Yishmuel in Chai Yisara in this week's parasha, Shem Yishmuel also points out that the Medrash compares the Gamal to Bavel. Who remembers? Why was Babylon called Bavel? Because everything got mixed up. Kisham Balal Lashoin. It's the big melting pot. Who's the king of Bavel? Anybody know? What did Nebuchadnezzar eat for lunch every day? The Zohar says camels. Ooh, ooh. He ate basar b'chalav. What's the pshat? Basar b'chalav is the epitome of mixture. Camels are the epitome of mixture. You know why? Because they go from my domain into your domain and they eat your food. Because everything is mixed. My money and your money, it's all melting pot. So Avraham Avinu needs to put an end to the gamal. So what does he do? He muzzles the gamal. Why? Because he needs to rescue someone who's lost in a big mixture. Rivka is a great tzaddikess, but she's lost in Lavan, in Besuel. She's toivara. She's like the chid of the Eitz Hadas. What happened by the Eitz Hadas? Before the Eitz Hadas, Adam was naturally good, and then there was a force of evil pulling him away. But good and evil were two separate entities. Good was good, evil was evil. Evil tried to influence Adam, who was naturally good. But then the Nachash came and injected Chava with poison, and now good and evil, it's all mixed up. Nowadays we live in a world, people don't know if they're coming or going, if what they're doing is a mitzvah or an avera. Everything, this is a world of Iruv Toivara. So in order to rescue Rivka from the mixture of good and bad, we need a camel who's muzzled. Because the camel represents the ultimate mixture, and we muzzle him so he doesn't steal, and he could extricate Rivka. In fact, Bereishis Rabbah says the reason why Rivka went to meet Yitzchak on a camel is to represent that from Rivka are going to come a great mixture, Yaakov and Esav. So the camel is the ultimate mixture of good and bad. Right? Before the sin of Adam Arishain, Adam was naturally inclined to good. There was a Nachash who tried to persuade him to bad. But it's not like the world we live in where the only way to advance any cause which is a benefit to the Jewish people is through some politician. You can't even bear to hear anything that they say. It's a very confusing world today. Do you remember when Yaakov met Esav? And Yaakov sends a message to Esav. Hey Esav, vayihi li, shor, vachamor, eved, shivcha, donkeys, sheep, servants. Yaakov forgot to mention one thing. He didn't say, and I have camels. I mean, that you're not going to be able to sleep tonight because of that. Do you remember that? Vayihili yishar vachamar tzoyin ve'eved v'shivcha. I have oxen, donkeys, sheep, servants, maidservants. What about camels? Yaakov was telling Esav, no, Esav, I'm not like you. In my world, there's a force of good, and there's a force of bad, and they're split. They're distinct. They're not mixed up. I don't have camels. My father Avraham already expelled Yitzchak. Excuse me, already expelled Yishmael. My father Yitzchak already expelled you, Esav. In my world, Toiv and Ra are split. I don't have Gamal. Gamal is the epitome of admixture, of mixing up good and evil. I don't have that. I'm done with that. You, Esav! Who is Esav compared to? Chazer. The epitome of mixture. He sticks out his front two legs, ke'ilu, he's kasher, but that's the ultimate hypocrisy because he doesn't chew his cud.
So how do you reconcile the Gamal from a Gamilas Chasadim?
Yeah, the Gamal, he's a very complex creature. On the one hand, his name sounds like Chesed, and he represents Bavel, who outwardly performed Chesed to Klal Yisrael. And on the other hand, he represents Bavel because he has this dichotomy that he doesn't choose, he chooses his kad, but he doesn't have split hooves. Okay, you ready for this? This is the revelation of the year. God creates Adam. And the heavenly angels, they're looking down and they're saying, this Adam, he's so holy, we can never prevail against him. We got to bring him down. So the chief angel of evil, his name is Samach Mem Aleph Lamed. We don't like to say his name, okay? Samach Mem Aleph Lamed. That's the angel of Esav, the angel of Tumah. He got together with the other angels who have 6 wings. The Samach Mem Aleph Lamed have 12 wings. And they decided they're going to bring Adam down. So they need to hire some hitman. They need to hire the mafia down here. The Samach Mem Aleph Lamed needs to join up with the most devious creature down here in this world. Who's that? The Nachash. Now the thing is, the angels can't get around that. Their transportation modes are very limited. Says the Medrash, Samach Mem Aleph Lamed said to the Nachash, do me a favor, I want you to be my motorcycle. And the Samach Mem rode the Nachash like a camel. That's what the Medrash says. The Nachash looked like a camel. Right? So that's a good trivia question. Who did the original snake, what did he look like? He was Joe Cool.
He was a snake. Originally had legs and arms.
Right? Exactly. What does a snake with legs and arms look like?
I have no clue.
You've never seen one. So that's why you came tonight.
Why not just go on a donkey?
Yeah, why not go on a donkey? Because the donkey is, I'll tell you why. We're going to explain. Let's explain. Because what did the Nachash do? The Nachash, he's not going to just say, oh, I'm the force of evil, so I'm going to inject you with poison. He has to be an admixture. He has to make believe on the outside he's Gemilas Chasodim. He has to make believe outwardly. Chazal say that the angel of Esav appears like a Talmud Chacham. It's a very long coat and a very long beard. It's a Medrash. He looks, Esav appears like a Talmud Chacham, because that's the ultimate hypocrisy. So that itself is just a very powerful image. The Samach Mem chose to ride on the original snake to make Adam sin like a Gamal. Now, who's the Tikkun of Chava? Says Arizal in this week's parsha, Rivka is the Tikkun of Chava. And if Chava was tripped up by the Samach Mem Aleph Lamed riding on a Gamal, so how is Rivka going to come out to greet Yitzchak and in this union bring some kind of Tikkun to the sin of Adam Arishain? This Arizal says in Likutei Torah in this week's parsha, Da ki Rivka Rachva al Hagamalim Remez la'oisoi nachash shechazal shayekein gamal. The nachash didn't just look like a camel; he was like a camel. And the Samach Mem rode on him to seduce Chava and to impurify Chava. So now Rivka, the Tikkun of Chava, rides on the camel, just like there's a force of evil called what, Yossi? Chamar. And who's going to rectify it? Mashiach, who is Ani, Veroi Cheval Chamar. So just like there's a force of evil, we were talking about Chamar before, just like the Mashiach will be Chamar to overcome a Chamar, Rivka wrote a Gomel to overcome the original Gomel of the Nachash. So now we're learning, if the Nachash HaKadmoni that caused Iruv Toiv Bara, right, that is what the repercussion of the original sin was. Just think, I want to paint a picture for you. There was a snake in the Garden of Eden. After Adam sinned, where did the snake go? Do you read about him in Vayera? That Avram was coming to feed the angels and the snake came? No appearance of the snake. In Chayisara, when Eliezer is trying to bring Rivka home, did the snake... When was the next time the snake appeared? Anybody know? What happened to the snake? The answer is when the snake made Chava eat from the Eitz Hadas, the snake entered Chava and is part of Chava's personality. Beforehand, there was an individual. Chava was purely good. There was a force called the snake that tried to persuade her to sin. After the sin of the Eitz Hadas, good and bad are intertwined in our conscience. The snake's in us. That's why at Kabbalah's HaTorah, when God gave us the Torah on Har Sinai, so now we were going to live forever, and the Satan died, so now the Satan comes back to the scene and he's painting pictures in the heaven that Moshe Rabbeinu died, because now the Satan is removed from our personalities. It's no longer Iruv Toiv Bara. That's Reb Chaim Volozhiner. Even the last time I said Reb Chaim Volozhiner, I got in a little bit of trouble. What could I do, you know? Reb Chaim Volozhiner says, the snake is now part of us. That's what the Yetzirah is, us. That's why sometimes you hear, oh, I think I should go do that great mitzvah. Many times, very often, the Satan will say, you know, don't do that. It's not a good thing to do. And you think it's the Yetzer Tov, it's the Yetzer Hara. Sometimes people are involved in mitzvahs for a long time, and they get a ruach shtos. Now, I can't be involved in that anymore. And they think it's the Yetzer Tov talking. It's the Yetzer Hara talking. But the problem is, we don't even know who's talking. That's the camel. The camel is the ultimate Iruv Toiv Bara. Abraham muzzled the camel. Rivka rides on the camel to be misaki in the sin of Adam Arishayim. Let's move on to something else. Raise your hand if you dream about camels. Really? When?
Oh, I never raised my hand.
Says the Gemara, someone who dreams, sees a camel in a dream, it means death was decreed upon them and they were saved. Why? Because how do we know that? The Pasuk says, Anoichi Eired Imcha Mitzrayim, I'm going to go down with you to Egypt. Va'anoichi Alcha Gamala. Gamala. And I'm going to come up with you. Says Rashi, Gamala sounds like Gamal. Gamala. By the way, the Shla HaKadosh writes that someone who commits adultery is reincarnated as a camel. So if you go into the desert and you see a bunch of camels marching,
Kamala.
They are reincarnates of adulterers. Why? Why? Says the Shla, one thing we're going to learn about camels in Vayishlach, they are, of all the animals, they're the most sanua betashmish. So it's a lesson that someone who committed adultery, we say, a camel's better than you. And they'll see firsthand that a camel's better than them. Now there's an old joke. You know the old joke? That the singer was walking and all of a sudden he felt the weight of 500 pounds fall on them and he didn't know what to do, so he started to sing, Shira Lashem Ki Gamal Alai. Yeah? Says the Shla, yeah. That's what David HaMelech meant when he's saying, Ashira Lashem, I sing to God, that He vindicated me from Bathsheba, and I didn't have to turn into a camel. Says David HaMelech, Ashira Lashem, I thank Hashem, Ki Gomal Olai, He took the camel away from me, I didn't have to turn into a camel. We just had in Ksubis, Daf Tesamet Aleph, that David HaMelech lives with Bathsheba. Why wasn't he Aser? Everybody know. So either he's Ma'anasur or Kol Hayotz of the Mechanos Beis David, get Krisis Kosev L'Ishtai. So it's interesting, because Chazal say that in certain places of the world, they took 9/10 of Arayos. Yeah? So it's interesting, those are the places that have the most camels. It's like Hashem saying, get your act together, you know? I have to be very careful these days. We're learning the Gemilas Chasadim part, you know. Comes Reb Chaim Knievsky, in Perek Shira, what does the camel say? We know that all of creation sings to Hashem. What does the camel say? The camel says, God calls out from on high, from his holy abode, he gives forth his voice. Sho'og yishag al naveu, he cries out over his temple. The camel, so to speak, says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu roars from his holy abode. Says Reb Chaim Knievsky, most animals, if they're hungry, they're going to wait an ambush, and they're going to pounce when nobody is when their prey least expects it. It's not like they're going to send a letter. It's not like the leper is going to mail a letter to, dear rabbit, I'm a little bit hungry right now. If I see you get too close, I plan on eating you. I just wanted to let you know. Right? Usually, there are no notifications. They're waiting in hiding, and when the prey least expects it, they pounce. But Hashem doesn't work that way. Hashem warns Klal Yisrael. Hashem says, "Look, I'm going to have to destroy the temple if you continue this behavior. I need you to shape up." Yes. Chesed in the extreme. Rav Gedalia Schwartz is saying, Chesed in the extreme leads to arayos, right? Actually, the Torah says, don't live with your sister. Chesed who? What do you mean chesed? Chesed, kindness without boundaries, is arayos. So you want to say, the gamal is gemilus chasadim without confinement. There's only one animal that before he kicks the living daylights out of somebody it doesn't like, it gives a warning. Camel. Camel roars, basically get away, and then if you don't get away, then it strikes. So the camel has the midah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that it gives a sha'aga before it attacks its prey. So one last thought about the camels. This idea that the main subject of this week's parasha is camels is picked up by none other than the Noam Elimelech in Parshas Vayishev. And the Rebbe Rav Melech says, what's the pshat if somebody sees a camel in their dream? Death. Now, I would say, you know why a camel represents death? Because the camel is which creature? It's the Nachash. It's the Nachash HaKadmoni who brought death to the world. So you see the camel in the dream, realize that there was a salvation from something rather dangerous. But the Noam Elimelech says like this, why does the vision of a camel, why is it merames to save salvation from death? He says, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a Merkava Kedosha, a holy chariot, there's a chariot for Tumah. The chariot for Tumah is the Gamal, like we know, the Nachash rides on the Gamal. What does the word goimel mean? To wean off. Right? When somebody stops nursing, they're gemulei chalav. They're weaned off. To be removed. Gemilos chesed means to be removed from, to wean off of the tumah and the death of the merkava of tumah, of the gomel of the sitra achra. That means someone who sees a camel, that al yidei gemilos chesedim, you're extricated from the Merkava HaTameya. And therefore, Eliezer knew he needed to somehow overcome the Klipa of Canaan. He's going into the land of Lavan, Besuel, the land of mixture of good and evil. And in order to overcome and be Goimel, removed from the Merkava of Tumah, he needed to do that through the Midah of Gemilas Chasadim. So, Marv Rabbeisai, today we learned a lot of interesting thing about the camels. First of all, the word gamal, says the Kli Yakar, is derived from gemilas chasadim. And the fact that Rivka wanted to serve the camels meant she had such an affinity toward chesed, she even loved something that sounds like chesed. Kli Yakar says that the gamal represents admixture. Because it chews its cud, that means it represents hypocrisy. It has outward gemilas chasadim, but on the inside it's only to advance its own purposes. The Shem Yishmuel brought an idea that the gamal represents Bavel. Bavel's king Nebuchadnezzar ate basar v'chalav, the ultimate mixture of good and evil. Avram wanted to muzzle the camel, to be mevarer, the toy from the ra. And that was the only way to rescue Rivka from an element, from an environment of toy vara. The Medrash says that the camels that Rivka rode on represented that toy vara would come from her. That's why Yaakov Avinu told Esav, I have shor, I have chamor, but I don't have gimalim. The Nachash HaKadmoni, the ultimate cause of mixture of good and evil, he rode on the Gamal. And Rivka was masaking that by also riding on the Gamal. The Gemara says if someone sees a camel in a dream, that means death was decreed from heaven. The Neir Malimach explains, through the mitzvah, the midah of Gemilas Chasadim, you are goymel from the klipa tamea of the Gamal. The Shlosh says that someone who is nichshal in arayos is nigmal, is nizgalgel as a gamal. So those are a few things you could think about if you see a camel. If you recognize the gamal from, you know, from your block, then that's not probably not a good thing. But it's definitely, everything in the Torah has significance, and the fact that the Torah emphasizes so often the mode of transportation of Eliezer and of Rivka means that this is a very significant theme. Wishing everybody bracha v'hatzlacha, v'kol tov.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.